Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club, the place investors go to learn tips, tricks, and stories from other investors in the field. If you feel we provide a value to you, go ahead and hit that thumbs up, share, whatever it may be. And if you'd like for us to cover a specific topic, let us know in the comments or reach out to us through our website. Today we have a very special guest, so buckle up, grab your pen and paper, and enjoy the ride. All right, we are live. Bill, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me to your show.
Absolutely. So why don't you get us started? You know, tell us who you are, where you're from, and a little bit on how you got into real estate in the first place.
Well, my name is Bill Pankinen. I'm from the Lakeville, Minnesota area. I've been involved in real estate pretty much right out of college. My father was a broker in southwestern Minnesota. He was a farmland and a commercial broker. And so I grew up in the industry. So I'm second generation. Three of my six kids are also in real estate, so we were carrying on another generation.
Nice. I love it. I love the family business. I kind of wish my parents were in real estate and had showed me the ropes, but you know, it's great that your kids are taking it on for you.
Right.
So you got started however many years ago. What year about have you been in the business? It sounds like from our conversation before the show, 20 plus years, something like that.
Well, actually, it's over 40. I kind of hate to say that, but it's over 40 years. But so I started in the late 70s. And, you know, and each decade, I always tell people, if you've been in real estate long, this every decade has something that's going to challenge you in the real estate industry. And so I've been through, as you well know, high interest rates, several recessions, bank failures, dot-com crashes. And now we have a new one, pandemics is a new one to add to my list. So I've been through quite a few of them. I think the biggest advantage I got, and at the time, looking back at the time, it didn't seem like a very smart deal, but I started out in a small rural Minnesota town, which made me have to learn how to do a lot of different things in the real estate industry. So I not only did I have to learn how to do residential, but I had to learn how to sell drive-ins and hotels and farms and anything that was for sale. That's because that's how you make a living out there, because there wasn't as many opportunities. So at the time, it didn't seem so cool, but looking back, it was a great, great way to get started in the industry.
I love it. So you've been through all the ups and downs that real estate could possibly throw at an individual. It sounds like you've been in every aspect, every niche of real estate. So you have had an illustrious career, and I'm sure you'll be able to share a lot of your wisdom with us today. So kind of tell us, you know, bring us to the modern day. What is it that is your bread and butter? What are you doing now in real estate?
Well, I'm the regional owner for Exit Realty Upper Midwest. And what I do is I open up new real estate offices in a six-state area. So North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and last year, recently, I brought on Illinois. So I help brokers and their agents get started in the business under our franchises. And so in the last 6 years or so, we started with 8 offices. Today we are pushing over 80 offices, and I started with about 120 agents. We're over 1,000 agents today, so we've grown really fast. What's fun for me, being involved in the industry this long, is having the opportunity to help agents who are just getting started in the business or who want to have more exposure. And whether they're working with investing with clients or they're going to get involved in the commercial part of it, I can kind of help them with the do's and don'ts, because I probably did a lot of don'ts. And so I got a great education of what not to do. And I try to save agents time and money from doing things wrong.
I love it. Yeah, no, pretty much every guest that's been on here has said, you know, if you really want to get a leg up in the industry, you got to find a mentor. Sounds like you were a mentor to many, many agents, many investors out there. So I applaud you for that. Anybody who is a mentor to other people, I really appreciate them doing that. Makes the entire industry better. So this is a real estate investing podcast. So I want to kind of focus in on that side of things. You work with a lot of agents, and they work with a lot of investors. From the agent's perspective, from the brokerage perspective, what is it that an investor can do to find
to kind of work with the broker to get to find the deals on market that they're looking for?
Well, I think what happens with a lot of people is I think there's a lot of investors, a lot of people who own real estate that probably have a piece of real estate that they really don't want. And I call those don't wanters. And what do you do with them? Maybe you bought a lake home and you have this extra lot next to you that you were always going to expand on, but you never did. Or maybe you own a lot in town that you thought you were going to do something with. Or maybe you got a warehouse that's just not able to keep full, or, you know, so I always encourage agents to go out there and be able to look for situations like that, you know, and then it kind of gives you an opportunity, because there's always those investors out there who are always willing to say, you know, I'd rather have that lake lot than I would this duplex in Minneapolis, as an example. You know what I mean? So that gives the opportunities for exchanges and, you know, a transfer of collateral, however you want to do it to get the deals done. And that's kind of what I've always been under that way. I always try to look outside the box when it comes to investing in real estate, because, you know, if you get creative and find the right people, there's always somebody willing to look at something.
Nice. I love it. And do you invest in real estate yourself, or is it mostly, are you mostly focused on the brokerage side?
You know, I've over the years have invested in lots of different types of real estate. So farmland, apartments, townhouses. I've done flips and done, there isn't too much kind of real estate that I haven't owned. I also did some new construction development. Also had a property management side of it as well. And so I kind of made a niche in some of the areas of taking lots in some of these communities that were maybe a little bit blighted and put in some housing or mixed use into them. So we did new construction and did rentals out of them.
Wow. So you have been all over the board when it comes to investing. I love that.
Yeah. I've spent a lot of time in city halls.
Yeah. I can only imagine. The one thing that really jumped out at me, I mean, this isn't super useful to a lot of the listeners, so I apologize for taking the show this way, but you mentioned that you have invested in farmland, and that is super unique. I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on a farm, and as I've gotten older, I knew that the apartments, it did involve a lot of time, consume time in terms of management, because you have the month-to-month deal. And I found one thing about farmland, it's fairly boring, as you know, but guess what? There's not a lot of management involved. And so my dad, believe it or not, he flipped farmland, believe it or not. So he would look at farms and fix them up. And we had a bunch of us boys in the farm, so we had a lot of labor. And we'd fix them up, and he'd resell them. And that's kind of how I got started investing in real estate myself. I started buying farmland. And of course, during the days of no banks were writing mortgages back then, we sold them on contracts and contract for deeds. And many of these farms had four or five contracts, one on top of the other. It wasn't uncommon.
Wow, that is interesting. And so you basically reposition farms. Does that, I mean, I don't want to go too far into this train of thought, but I'm just so intrigued. So you reposition farms. Did that include like doing anything to the soil, or was it mostly just, you know, cleaning up the land itself, maybe fixing the farmhouse, fixing the barn, whatever it may be?
Yeah, we did everything. Most of the time, some of these farmers back then were just, you know, people were struggling to make it work, and most pretty much like a house in town, right? So we would take it, and sometimes we could take some of the ground that was non-tillable and turn it into productive ground. And I think we were really good at bringing, you know, better forms of my farming into the area, because I was doing this in both Minnesota and South Dakota as well.
Huh. That is intriguing. So you've had a breadth of experience. I love that. Out of all the different asset classes, asset types, which one has been both one, the most lucrative for you, and then the other, just the most enjoyable, the one that you keep returning to because you like the process, whatever it may be?
Well, you know, I guess if I broke that down in several different categories, I think for me, I started out, you know, investing like many do when I got moved up here to the Minneapolis area. And that was, I started out with a duplex. You know, and then from there I went to a fourplex, and then I went to a sixplex, and then I bought several sixplexes, and then I finally went to 10s and 12s, and then I started constructing some of these as well. I learned that, you know, I wanted to have the least amount of management possible, so I went into new construction, so I went into, you know, one bedrooms that were the tenants paid all the utilities that were electric, and you know, they had their own water meters because I just wanted to have it so I had less and less bills. And you know, and so I really liked the apartment side of it. I did that for quite a while. I got into the farmland, I guess, because you know, it's kind of one of my first loves. I think if you grow up on a farm, I think you probably always will like it. And another benefits of owning farmland were, of course, the recreational side of it, the hunting and fishing and whatever else was associated with it. So being an outdoor guy, I mean, that was part of that was one of the side benefits of owning farmland.
Yeah, I grew up not on a farm, but next to a farm. And I love being out in the country. So I can see the appeal there. Flipping it though, I've never heard of it. That's very intriguing. It sounds like obviously you've been through a whole bunch of type of asset classes. From start to finish, all real estate deals, they start with actually identifying and finding the deal. When you are a broker, so you get properties on the actual market, what is the most effective way for you to actually go out and find your next deal, your new deal?
Well, I think in today's world, we're in a little bit different deal. I think the residential real estate was a little bit ahead of the game when it came on the commercial side of it, because they really did a good job with their websites and finding properties and really marketing them, you know, like a virtual tour. Now, you weren't seeing very many virtual tours of real estate buildings until recently. And so I think that was kind of maybe what the difference was. And a lot of times is finding the need. So one thing nice about like industrial or office warehouse is that there's usually a company involved. So somebody owns something, you know, and so I always try to talk tenants into investing into real estate and have the company that you own pay that mortgage or pay rent. So at the end of the day, you have another asset, you know, it's paid for and it was done instead of paying for rent. You're obviously paying yourself. And that asset could be worth $500,000, could be worth $5 million, you know. And so to add that for all the hard years of work, I thought that was really, really important. And I do the same thing with our agents. I'm trying to have them take some of their commission money or their passive income money and start in buying in, just like I did. Maybe buy that duplex, do that flip, get used to start doing that. And then over a period of time, you can start building some cash flow to allow you to, you know, and you also get some tax benefits from the real estate ownership as well.
I love it. So you kind of mentor the agents that are under you to buy assets of their own.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's so important for them to get involved so they can, you know, if you haven't picked up a paintbrush or a hammer or had to fix something, it's kind of hard to do it. And I think a lot of the young people that especially buyers in the residential side, when they walk into a place, if it's not all ready to go, they just don't have the vision to realize that, hey, I can get a loan and I can put in carpet and paint and I can clean this place up. And so I think for those agents that recognize that, they can go a long way. So I know with the apartment buildings I bought, most of them just needed to be cleaned up, you know, exterior and interior. So carpet, paint, a lot of times soffits and fascia, and you know, put on gutters, make it nice so people could enjoy living there, you know, make them proud about living there. And then I just didn't have the turnover.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, that is where the value is added, is buying those properties that don't look nice, that other people don't want, and then go ahead and, you know, putting that sweat equity into it, making them look, you know, like new. And capturing that equity on the back end. So I love that aspect of it as well. So again, you've been through a whole bunch in your career. You have, you know, we all know that real estate, it's a roller coaster. You got ups, you got downs. You said it yourself, you've been through decades of ups and downs in the market. I like to hear about from guests' experiences. You know, we all have that lowest point in real estate. But then on the flip side, we have great lessons that we learn from them. Take us to one of the lowest experiences that you've had in your real estate career. And what was the lesson that you learned coming out of that one?
I think during a recession, we had put together a lot of real estate partnerships, and when we made the mistake in the financing side to be cross-collateralized. So that means, in other words, if one of the properties had an issue, the bank had the ability to make them all have issues. So it's a bad, bad day when you walk into the bank and start handing over keys of properties that cash flow. And so we saw quite a bit of that during that time. Of course, I've also saw it where I remember a day where I was selling a farm, and this was during the time when there was protests, believe it or not, on farmers because the banks were foreclosing on everybody. And I had show up to sell a farm. I had a public auction, and everybody's wearing red. They had a red bandana back then to show support. Nobody would bid because they didn't want the farm to sell. So I've seen all kinds of different things. But it'd be important not to cross collateralize properties if you can. That's a big no-no. I learned a lesson the hard way in that area there. So, and I never go back. I can always go back and look and say, I wish I would have, could have. But, you always just got to look forward because there are lessons learned. That's how most people who are really, really good at this, they have to fail. And you're going to, if you don't fail, good for you. But most people fail in certain areas. And I failed many times. I don't claim to know it all. I continue to learn. So even at my age, I continue to take all the classes I can regarding help and different ways to do transactions. So I belong to a couple of national organizations. These are investors like myself and brokers like myself who put together deals that have sometimes had four or five legs to them. So you always had to get the next one deal because number A buyer had to take care of the C buyer's dilemma. And some of these deals take a year or 2 years to get them done, but usually they're well worth it. But you sure learn a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And that is why I love asking the question, is because the best lessons come out of your biggest failures. And I know that's true for myself as well. And so I love hearing those lessons that people learned through those hard experiences. So you did mention, you said one of the biggest lessons that you learned is not to cross collateralize. Some mentors of mine have thought that was actually a good strategy in order to expand your portfolio faster. So you do not think that you should be cross collateralizing your property at all.
Let me clarify that. So there's one way to do it. Number one is if you can cross collateralize, surely take another property if you got a lot of equity to buy another property. However, if they're connected, if something goes wrong with one of them, they tightened up the banking so much back then that, that if one fell out of favor, they had the rights to take them all. So that included, there went all the equity, there went the performing assets as well. That was really kind of a tough pill to swallow, but, that's what we had to do to make things work back then. And so I learned that lesson. I also learned another lesson I will tell you about as well, because when things were going really well, we built the strip mall and we had it 50% leased. So as soon as we got it 50% leased, we would go on to the next building and new construction. And then when the market changed relatively quick, the 50% lease part all went away. So now you're sitting with a large building that's empty with no tenants, and so that we learned a lesson that as well. And I've seen the big companies do that as well. I mean, the great big companies, the national companies, do the same thing. We were renting space in one of the buildings up here that was owned by a company out of Dallas. And when they got them half full, they would just build another one. And for a while that worked, but all of a sudden it came to a screeching halt. And, so kind of learned their lesson in that arena as well.
Mitigate the risks. That is, yeah. That is absolutely true. You've taken us to the trough of your experience and the lessons you learned through that. So now kind of take us to the peak. You've been in real estate for 40 plus years. That is a long time, spans a lot of decades. So you got to like it for some reason or else you wouldn't be in it 40 plus years. What gets you out of bed? Why do you keep coming back to it every day?
If somebody sits down with me and they're excited about doing deals in real estate, it just gets the juices flowing. I guess I'm a deal junkie. That's what I'm going to say. I just love doing deals. I like seeing things happen. I like trying to get creative to make things happen. And, in the market I'm in right now, I do a lot of mergers and acquisitions with real estate companies. And a lot of times the broker owners there own their real estate. And so when a person's coming in and inquiring property, what do we do with that building? And how does that work out? So to me, it's fun to see what I can do with them. I really enjoy finding, I like that hard property that really they just can't find a buyer with. And if I find out what the seller would rather have, I've seen exchanges from everything from boats to helicopters to planes to lake lots, you name it. I've seen all that happen, and it's really a kind of a fun way to get things done.
That's cool. I love it. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I've asked that question a lot of times, and that's what a lot of people say is that they love real estate because they love solving problems, and real estate is the essence of just solving problems one after the other. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. I think the very first hotel transaction I did, I was flabbergasted because the buyers came in with earnest money. They wanted to bring in gems. So gold and gems. And of course I didn't have any experience what that was doing. And I, you know, so I had to call around to kind of find out, is this legitimate? Can I take that as collateral for the earnest money? You know,
that's hilarious. They brought gems. That's great. I mean, yeah. Hey, if it has value, it has value, right?
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
that's hilarious. All right. So, I mean, 40 years of experience. Let's think about, you know, the bill 40 years ago. What was that? Today's 2020. So that was in 1980. Yeah. Take us back to Bill back in 1980. If you could go back to that Bill and say, hey man, this is the one thing that you need to do, the one piece of advice you need to follow going forward to make sure that you have a good career. What is that one piece of advice you'd give yourself?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I always was willing to do was I was very good at networking and always making phone calls. And so I was always maybe involved in, you know, a lot of different groups and organizations, just like you guys are there. And I always was willing to make phone calls to ask people, say, yeah, and find out if they were looking and all that. So I always say, if you got a, I always called it your dirty dozen, whatever, you always get about 12 to 20 people that, you know, I take them to lunch once a month and kind of just share ideas from what's working. And I always got referrals out of that. So I was always kind of willing to dial for dollars until I got a deal going that day. And that work ethic really seemed to get me through all the times.
Nice. So just keep grinding at the networking, keep making new connections. Eventually something's going to pan out.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things, a lot of people, you know, when they get involved in this business, the phone is really your friend. You know, and so you always got to have that. You got to have that group around you, and you always got to be willing to reach out. And so I spent a lot of time in, you know, just stopping in and talking to people at other real estate companies and in bank offices and title and mortgage companies. And, you know, and if I saw somebody adding on to a warehouse or something like that, I just went in there and asked, what's going on? You know, to kind of find out what's going on. And then they kind of start recognizing you. So I think that's so important to be involved in your community.
I love it. That happened to us, me and a partner one time. We were doing a flip. And then another guy two houses down the road, started a flip himself. And so we just went down there, you know, we said, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And it turns out he sold us our next flip. So, you know, you never know where they're going to come from. It's always, you know, things just pop up. You just got to keep shaking hands, saying hi to people, being open. And that's kind of how real estate works in itself.
Yeah. The very first deal is probably the hardest. You know, I remember going to closing on that first apartment I was doing, and I was so nervous because I was worried about tenants calling me at night and all that. Really, I had no issues. It was such a well-run building that, you know, the tenants never called. Even when they had a problem, they would just fix it themselves. And I was so nervous. And finally, I think if you just jump in with both feet and really engage in what you have, I think you'll do real well. But a lot of people are afraid to take that leap of faith.
Yeah, that's for sure. That was me. The first deal I did was a triplex with a friend, and I was. I mean, if you could worry about it, I worried about it. It was the doorknobs, the handles, you know, whatever it was. If it could go wrong, I thought it was going to be the end of the world. So you do just got to jump in and just close your eyes and have faith that it's going to work out in the end. That's absolutely true.
That's absolutely right.
So, Bill, we try to keep this to around 30 minutes. So we are, and you know, we're closing in on the end here. You've given us a ton of things to work out, a ton of wisdom from your own career. We'd like to give something in return. If somebody listening or watching were to bring you something, what would you want to receive?
Well, you know, I'm looking for people to work with. I enjoy coaching and mentoring agents that are interested in investing in real estate or owning their own company, or I just enjoy that. I enjoy seeing people who write their first deals, who just passed their real estate license, who who just sold their first property. To me, I'm at that pay it forward part of my career. So, you know, I'm just anybody that's interested in pursuing a career and really want to invest in real estate. I really enjoy that.
I love it. So on that note, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Well, there's a couple different ways. One, you can just text my real name, which is Willard, W-I-L-L-A-R-D, to 85377, and you'll get my mobile business card. Otherwise, my cell phone is 612-414-4022, and my website is exitrealtyuppermidwest.com.
Perfect. Well, Bill, again, I know I can speak for everybody listening and watching. I really appreciate you having on here, sharing all your wisdom. If anybody listening and watching wants to get in contact with Bill, he just sent you his phone number. I will also put his LinkedIn in the show notes. So if you want to get in contact with him, you can go there. Other than that, I thank you again for coming on. And for everybody watching, we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Real Estate Investing Club. If you feel we provided value, we would appreciate it if you hit that thumbs up, share with your friends online, whatever it may be. If you'd like to share or partner with us on an investment deal, we are always looking for quality projects. Go to www.therealestateinvestingclub.com to get in contact with one of our partners. Otherwise, I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic day, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.